Back in December, I spoke to Jim Estill in the Canadian city of Guelph, about an hour outside Toronto. Estill has personally sponsored 50 Syrian refugee families, spending more than $1 million to set them up with housing, food, and jobs.
We have checklists to set up a bank account, to get the health card, to ride the bus with them, to show them how to get around.
Things have changed since then. For one thing, the U.S. is closing its borders to refugees for now. The World's Rupa Shenoy visited Jim Estill and one family he's helping.
I feel now life, new life, good.
This is Rola. We're sitting on her couch in the small apartment she shares with her husband Ahmed and their 27-year-old special needs son. They've been here in Guelph for about 3 months, and we're not using their last name because they fear reprisals from people in Syria. Rola's still learning English. I tell her she can speak in Arabic if she wants and have Ahmed translate. Jim Estill butts in and says, nope, we're not doing that. They need to learn English to succeed in Canada.
Just today.
Again, Jim says no. In many ways, he's saved this family. But Jim definitely has his rules.
Jim, he said no TV.
Jim said no TV.
Yeah, but really, what he said.
I don't have a television, and I don't believe in television. But I do come. I have come around. It isn't a bad way to learn English, so I may be changing my mind.
Jim's strictness is a joke that he's in on.
No, sometimes they eat meat, but meat's not healthy and it's not good for the world. We all know that.
Ahmed pipes in. He's also had to stop smoking. To this, Jim delivers one of his favorite lines.
See, that's the difference between Canada and Syria. In Canada, smoking isn't healthy.
Jim can be corny, but it's his generosity that makes Ahmed emotional.
This guy, I respect him so much. Before I come, I'm dead. Canada and Jim give us the good hand. Now my turn to give Canada and Jim. I promise myself to be good in this country. I feel him like a brother for me.
In a different life and a different world, Jim and Ahmed could have been business associates. Jim wears a blue work shirt like anyone else in his factory, but he's at the Donald Trump level of business success. He was one of the founding board members of the smartphone company BlackBerry. He started and sold many other big companies, retired young, and then came on to run Danby Appliances. Jim has access to government information about all the refugees he's helped and says Ahmed owned the equivalent of a Saks Fifth Avenue in Syria.
He's a business guy like me.
But circumstances in the world have made Jim the one who ended up feeling like he was playing God with other people's lives. He started his effort to bring Syrian families to Canada in 2015, and ever since, people have been emailing him with desperate pleas for help. Before U.S. President Trump took office, Jim was getting a few dozen emails every day. After Trump took office, Jim says the emailed pleas for help multiplied.
This has been a massive increase. Now I'm getting probably 5 times as many. And I've had approaches from people from the States who want to come here.
They tell him they're from one of the 7 countries banned by Trump from entering the U.S. They've applied for protected status in America, but think they'll probably be deported under Trump's policies.
They're fearful that they're not going to have a place to stay.
The Canadian government's already reached its cap for Syrian refugees for 2017. Before that happened, Jim handpicked candidates he thought would contribute to Canada's economy and social fabric, mostly nuclear families, preferably with grandparents who will take care of kids while parents work.
I don't tend to sponsor single men. I don't tend to sponsor single mothers.
Some people who arrive are disappointed in the blue-collar factory jobs Jim wants them to work. He's also had to deal with mixed reaction among the Canadian public.
I get huge support from most people, but once in a while you get people who are basically thinking I'm bringing in terrorists and that I'm a reprehensible individual.
Rola and Ahmed are anxious to show how much they want to be Canadian. Ahmed says he's willing to pick up trash in his spare time to gain his new neighbor's trust.
I wanted to see the Canadian people see us. It's good people, not bad people. That's what I like. Or to clean the street. I'm ready to do it.
Before we leave, we have to try the many sweets Rola has laid out for our visit, including baklava, a custard, bread. These options don't exactly go with Jim's obsessively healthy diet. But after hundreds of visits to the homes of newly resettled Syrian families, he's stopped fighting the food they insist he eat. So he munches some snacks quickly, leaning against a freezer he bought for Ahmed and Rola.
One time he said, "You have something you wanted." I said, "I want TV." He said, "No." "Okay, I want the freezer." He said, "Okay, tomorrow morning I come for freezer. But TV, no."
So this was the consolation prize from the TV.
They can watch the freezer.
Rola tells Jim, "Don't worry, there's no meat in the freezer. We haven't broken another rule."
"No meat?
No.
Oh, that looks like meat to me."
And Jim's off again, teasing them. Ahmed and Rola are Canadian now, and that's not how Canadians do things. Or at least, that's not how Jim does things. For The World, I'm Rupa Shenoy.